It's the big wake-up call, and it is that time once again to chat with Bill McSciFi himself from the World News Center. It is Bill McCormick. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you this bright and beautiful day?
You know, no matter what the weather's like, when we get together, I feel like things are bright and beautiful.
Yeah. Now, one quick thing. I know there's only a few people who listen to the show who follow me on Instagram. I think it's less than a handful.
Oh, good. I'm glad you finished that sentence because I was going to get upset.
No, it's just
there's
a couple.
There's only a few people who listen to this show. That's not true. We have listeners all over the world.
Yes, we do. We have plenty of listeners, but only a couple of them follow me on Instagram.
Okay.
But my spam account, which is trying to sell Bitcoin and Cash App scams to them, have actually reached out to them pretending to be me. And now it turns out that they can pretend to be me to pretty much anyone I've interacted with. So if you get something from me and it's got a picture of me with a beard, that's not me.
Okay.
So if you see the beard, it's not me. Just automatically report it for pretending to be me, and then block that person and go on your merry way.
Are they like cracking? Because I've seen this happen to several people I know. Are they cracking passwords or are they just like creating a clone account?
What they do is they get you to click a thing to, and this is literally what happened to me. Somebody I knew, his account had been hacked, but I did not know that. And he wrote me, he said, "Hey man, I'm trying to do this thing to be an Instagram influencer," which for this person fit. This is something they would have done or would do. So I clicked okay to support them. And next thing I know, they had my password and they had my account and off they went to the races.
Really? Just from clicking on that?
Yeah. So don't click on anything and, confirm everything. And you know, we live in a paranoid world, and the one minute I actually trusted, hey, that's my friend, I know
right,
that human being.
Right.
I even know them in real life, I've had drinks with them, yay, click, my account's gone.
I guess the lesson here is A, don't trust anyone ever, and B, don't click on anything ever.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we're coming down to.
Great.
Speaking of trust issues, Marvel's Disney Plus universe just wrapped up with Moon Knight.
Yeah.
And there's a few things there I kind of wanted to address. The first is, as people have known, and I was very skeptical that Marvel was going to handle dissociative identity disorder, which is a form of schizophrenia and possibly a form of autism, depending on who you talk to. The fact that they were going to try and dig into that and handle it in a 6-episode show struck me as foolhardy. Mostly they just don't have a good track record of dealing with mental illness.
Right.
Marvel and DC together, it's just like, you know, they make fun of it, or it's a cliche, or it's whatever. This is not their strong suit. So I was a little nervous, but by God, they actually pulled this off. And the people they let run it, everyone I've spoken to behind the scenes and the people who've done public interviews basically told a line here where they said they were given carte blanche to do the research, to make sure everything was right, and to do it as best they possibly could. I mean, as one, they actually had a clinical psychologist as part of their team. And as she said, we're doing an action-adventure show. We are not doing a thesis for a university.
Right.
But that said, we don't want people to have the wrong idea. And there are some scenes in there where they actually tried to figure out how to make this work so people can understand it. And there's a scene early in the show where Steven, the good guy who works at a museum and wants to be, he hopes one day to be promoted to tour guide at the museum. That's his life goal. So he's in a museum and all this stuff is going on, and he's being chased by a demon from toothpicks, and it's all just going on around him, and it's everything's flying around, and all of a sudden the mirror in the bathroom starts talking to him, and the mirror's like, you need to trust me, I can save us, you need to let me save us. And the mirror and the guy in the mirror looks like him, but it looks like a much more confident, better dressed version of him.
But they're handing this in. They're not doing it to poke fun. This sounds like they're handling it, with a little bit of taste and a little bit of thought, because in general, and I know you have to have villains, and I know you're not just going to have some regular character with a mental illness, but in Marvel and DC, really anyone with a mental illness winds up being the evil one.
Right. Well, DC not so much. If you follow the comics, they got off that choo-choo train maybe 10, 15 years ago, and I got to give them credit for that. But you're right, Marvel, especially Marvel. Anybody with mommy daddy issues they were probably going to be the bad guy. In this case, the there's different personalities. The story is about him being a superhero and him being able to leap over buildings and with the help of this god Khonshu to be able to actually control time and move things around and stars and so on and control the night. You get all the cool superhero stuff, but you also get these two characters, the two halves of the same god, coming together. And then there's a third element of this where there might be a third personality, and I don't want to give it away. If you haven't seen the show, I can highly recommend it. It's not too violent for kids. I wouldn't go 10 and under, but 10 and up, you should be fine sharing it with your families, watching it. And the point, they get the points across really well. I have some kids that I used to work with at the library, and we've talked about it online, and one of them's like, his little brother's 11 years old, and he got all the nuances about the mental illness. He understood that this was not something to be made fun of. This was something this guy was trying to live with.
Right.
And, you know, he'd have these long blackouts. And one of the early scenes is he wakes up in the morning trying to talk to his goldfish. He blacks out and he wakes up in Egypt, you know, carrying weapons and in the middle of a firefight with terrorists. And he's like, you know, the last place this guy belongs.
But that's just one of his personalities, is waking up in Egypt, and who he really is or who he thinks he is could be just like, you know, waiting in a dentist's office?
Pretty much, but not really. In this case, wherever he thinks he is. But who he thinks he is becomes a question. And it's interesting how they play with that and how he's never completely in control of who he is, what he can do. When he's Steven, he tries to control the Khonshu god that's inside of him, and he ends up putting on this really cool kind of, if you were dressing all white to go to a wedding, that would be his superhero suit. It's very slick, very, very debonair.
Yeah.
Whereas the assassin personality has wings and swords and blades in his chest, and he's ready to kill everyone, and he does not look debonair. He looks like he's going to come and hurt you, and that's what he does, is hurt you. And it's interesting how they play it. I don't want to give too much away. It's really well done. Some of the mental health professionals that I've been in touch with who watched it and watched it with their families all agreed that they got it right. You know, they're pretty much across the board. No, they weren't trying to do, you know, a dissertation for a master's thesis, but they did hew closely to what the reality is for people who live with this and what people have to deal with in going through this. And it was interesting. It was a fascinating show. The ending on it was definitely not seen. Did not see that coming. So there's going to be another series of it, another season. So if you like Moon Knight, there'll be Moon Knight 2. So you can tell your friends.
Great. They can introduce some other Marvel characters to cross over.
You know, and that's the one thing everybody gripes about with Moon Knight, is that there was no crossover with the rest of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
And, watching it, yeah, they could have done some stuff, but this is such a weird, complex character, and there's like so much new ground they're covering there. There is no part in the Marvel Universe where a giant talking hippo is controlling a ship, but there is in Moon Knight. And it's like, you know, they need to get this out of the way so people can understand this universe before they start blending it in with all the rest of it. And, I think that's one of the problems they've had with a couple of the latest installments, the Eternals and all that other stuff, is that they're trying to put so much on the screen that you finally are just like, okay, it's like watching a blender, you know, it's just all blur. You don't care anymore. Whereas with Moon Knight, you got two characters, and you got the left side of this guy's brain and the right side of his brain, and that's it. Those are your big ones. And I love this. One of his personalities is married, and the other one is decidedly single.
This sounds like it would make a killer animated series, in the different things they could do.
I agree, and actually that's what they were originally planning on doing, and how this ended up becoming a live-action thing has a lot to do with where they're going with the Disney Plus channel, as opposed to any sort of creative decision. They wanted everything so that if they could blend it in later, like the Scarlet Witch coming back into Doctor Strange and in the multiverse.
Spoiler!
She's in the trailers. She's the first person Doctor Strange meets in the trailer.
So. I love Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, so... and we'll get to Doctor Strange. I just saw that, and we'll talk about that for a minute too. But Moon Knight, you know, they had a lot of ground to cover, and it's like you listen to the directors and some of the people behind the scenes. It's like, yeah, we talked about it, and we looked at doing it, and one guy said, he goes, where do you put Captain America, any iteration of Captain America? Pick a Captain America, your favorite Captain America. Mm-hmm. Where does he fit in this? Where does a Black Panther fit in this? He goes, yeah, Egypt's in the continent of Africa, but that's about as close as we're getting to Wakanda. There's, you know, there's no crossover there right now.
Yeah, and, it really would be kind of shoehorning in some characters. You'd have to go figure out which one really made sense.
Yeah, and they couldn't come up with one. And I gather they talked with some of the people who were doing the other movies at that time when they were working on it. Spider-Man, No Way Home, and Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, and some of the other stuff that's coming up. And as well as the TV shows, you got She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, and the new Ms. Marvel, which is, you know, features the Muslim girl whose family's from Pakistan. And they were trying, you know, that would be the closest they could come, and they just couldn't make it work. There's just no way. You know, they're like, they would end up introducing this new character with giving her superpowers in someone else's show. And that, you know, kind of defeats the purpose of her having her own show.
Can't you just take any random character, whatever character you like, just say they're taking acid and then anything's possible?
Well, you know, and I suppose that's true. And especially with a character who has a combination of fugues where he hallucinates and is caught in multiple dimensions, and when he's dead, he has to go visit his mother. So he's got a lot going on, and just adding more characters into that just isn't going to help.
Just have Dr. Strange.
Oh, and I neglected to point out that the main assassin character is Jewish, but his counterpart personality doesn't seem to be.
Okay.
So, you know, you've got a lot going on there. And the counterpart is a vegetarian. And the assassin personality loves himself a good medium rare steak. And it's wild how they play this up and how they make it work and how, you know.
Now, see, that's something they never mention with multiple personalities, is that the religions could be different.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I thought was fascinating about
this. It's like, when did I convert to Judaism, or was I always Jewish? And what is, the, you know, exact that they should play that. I know people are funny about religion, but that's something interesting. Is the characters try to reconcile those?
Yeah, they touched it. They did. I think that was one of those rabbit holes that somebody went, no, you can mention it because it's a part of the plot and it's a part of this guy's personality.
Yeah.
But let's not take an episode to go down that rabbit hole. Let's just show it and move on. And that's kind of what they did. Having the scene with the assassin crying in the street with his yarmulke on, just completely losing his mind at a funeral, is one of the most powerful things I've seen in a long time. And then he goes through the personality change and becomes the other guy. And the other guy takes off the yarmulke and sticks it in his pocket because he doesn't even know where it's from. And he picks up his phone and starts talking to his dead mother on the phone. And I'm like, okay, we've got a lot of weirdness going on. And that's been about 11 seconds of this show.
Man.
So, yeah. So where are you going to put something else into that or someone else into that? You know, it's like there are limits to what you can do.
I don't know. You can just have the Submariner show up. Did I lose
Hello?
You? Oh, I thought
yeah, you did.
I thought you just stopped because my suggestion was so ridiculous.
No, Submariner's getting his own show. That's been greenlit. Where it's at in production, I don't know. Marvel, like with DC, there's some people behind the scenes I can talk to, and they can throw me a breadcrumb. Then I'm not going to get a whole slice of bread, but I'll get a breadcrumb here and there. Marvel, Disney, I could be in the room with them when they're making decisions, and I wouldn't know what's going on because it would all be in code with somebody doing semaphore. You know, they just,
sure.
They are very, very secretive. Spider-Man No Way Home is a great example. Several of the cast members who are actual cast members were on TV going, nope, I have nothing to do with this. I'm not involved in the slightest. Nope, not me. Wasn't me, not me at all. Can't see me. Nope, I'm not there. You can't see me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they pay good money for people to keep their mouths shut. And so it's going to be interesting to see what's going on. The Ms. Marvel is coming out, and I've talked to several of the people who are involved in that, and they all say the same thing. If you've got a teenage girl, this is the show you want to introduce her to, much like Supergirl, DC from Supergirl.
Oh, okay.
Or DC had Supergirl, and that really nailed it and made, you know, years worth of fans from that whole universe. Ms. Marvel, they said, is going to do it. And I've been able, I wanted to talk about this because it's kind of cool. I was able to see a 4-minute trailer snippet from the show. Much like back in Supergirl, where I got to see the 6-minute thing, you know, sample of the show to see what's going on and share it with some younger, more sensitive viewers. And, man, this is going to be a great show for kids. And it's a different show. They're very honest about the fact that she's Muslim, and they have prayer sessions with the family, and, you know, mom and the girls go to their side of the mosque, and all of that's in there. They don't shy away from it. It's a very, very upbeat show. She lives with an Islamic Pakistani family, and she's trying to conform to being an American high school student who likes superheroes, who thinks the hot boy in class is the hot boy that she wants to get to know, you know. She has dreams about the hot boy because that's what happens when you're you're 13, 14 years old. And she also happens to have these superpowers that allow her to punch through Fort Knox. And, you know, there's a lot going on there for her.
Yeah, that is, but what is it with, trying to do high school kids? Let's put Spider-Man in high school. Let's have other junior characters. Is that just to appeal to a demographic, or is that essential to a character's background?
Well, for Marvel, it's essential to their background, because Marvel decided in the 60s, Stan Lee especially decided in the 60s, that using superheroes or creation of superheroes should be, whenever possible, an allegory for going through puberty, that you are different, are going through this, and this is what's going on in your life. That doesn't make you bad, it doesn't make you evil, it doesn't make you anything other than you're coming in control of who you are and what you are capable of.
Well, I feel like this should be a whole other segment, as we're running out of time. We should definitely explore that. In the meantime, let's see, BillMcSciFi.com, at BillMcSciFi. Check out the all-new Big Wake Up Call podcast on your favorite podcast app. Bill, thank you as always. Great to talk to you, and have a good weekend.
You too. Take care.